Happy Easter. Today is the eighth day, the last day of the octave of Easter. 8 days during which we celebrate Easter every single day. And of course, we don't have a choir or a high mass every day, but we had everything else. All the candles and everything that goes along with a solemn feast day. And today in particular, we celebrate this Sunday, which has many names. The newest names, which goes along with the readings of today, by the way, and it was decreed by the Lord to St. Faustina Kowalska in 1938, not in 1968. This is an authentic, true feast, commanded by Jesus Christ himself. And of course, there are some people who think that if it's new, that it's not real. There's many things new. Every single day we have new things and new saints. But this day is known, as usual, by the introit, Quasimodo. And of course, we know Quasimodo from the beautiful novel from Victor Hugo of the poor baby that was left at the door of the cathedral, who was extremely handicapped. And so it's Quasimodo Sunday. The canons of the cathedral said, "What are we going to name this child?" And one of them said, "Well, it's Quasimodo Sunday, so let's call him Quasimodo." And there's many Quasimodos today in this day and age. Some of them spiritual, most of them. Some mental, a lot of them. And some fewer physical. So if you're one of those Quasimodo, happy feast day today. And then it's also called Low Sunday, which was some crazy monk's name for it, because even though it is not Easter Sunday per se, it is celebrated as if it were Easter. It's the octave of Easter. And it deserves to be celebrated as Easter. And then, of course, another term that is used for this Sunday, which is sort of repetitious, is Domenica in Albis, Sunday in white. Well, we wear white for the whole Easter season, with some exceptions. And of course, I remind you that silver and gold can take the place of white in the liturgy. So it's white. This may look like gold, but it's white. Your eyes are bad. And so is Domenica in Albis. And you know, I hope that monk enjoyed his good Italian vino. And then, of course, we have Mercy Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. Both in the reading from the Epistle of Blessed John the Apostle, as well as in the Gospel, from his Gospel, the Gospel of the Evangelist St. John, we see the mercy of Christ shown to us. And so, of course, everything that he has done, the incarnation, the birth in Bethlehem, all the vicissitudes he and the Holy Family suffered, including the flight and the return to and from Egypt. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And then, of course, his 3 years in public ministry, which were magnificent years in which he preached himself the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Unless you believe in me, you can have no life." And then, of course, the last 10 days, when we have celebrated the magnificent passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, during which he has given us almost all the sacraments except two. And you can figure that out. But the most important of all, which is a source of all the sacraments, physically speaking, is holy orders, the priesthood. There would be no ordinations, there would be No consecration if it were not for the priesthood. No priest, no mass. No bishop, no priest. And then, of course, we have the Blessed Sacrament itself. The sacrifice of the Mass. How wonderful it is, this great gift of Jesus. But today, on this very day, the eighth day of Easter, he gives us one of the most wonderful sacraments, the sacrament of penance, of confession, which you do not use nearly enough. I miss the days when I was in Rome, and I used to walk from the college where I lived to the Pontifical Lithuanian College of St. Casimir, and go to the University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Urbe, and every day I would walk through and make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament in the Basilica of St. John at the Lateran, the Cathedral of Rome. And almost every day I would go to confession because there were many priests hearing confessions. Confession is such a wonderful gift. And that is the gift of Easter of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it is the custom of Catholics. And in Catholic countries, not Protestant or Masonic countries so much, Catholic countries where godparents and godchildren give each other gifts. This custom in this country has not anything because it is a Masonic country, even though it's becoming more and more Catholic and more Christian, but it's not anywhere near yet there. And so Jesus gave us that example. He comes in his resurrected and glorified body, which can go through walls and windows and doors without opening them. So it will be for us after the resurrection if we are going to heaven. If we are going to hell, don't even want to think about it. Avoid hell. Repent of your sins and go to confession and take part in the great mystery of the resurrection of the Lord. And so he gives us, in a very special way, he comes in and he greets the apostles, Pax Vobis. To this day, when a bishop celebrates Mass, he doesn't say Dominus Vobiscum, he says Pax Vobis. Peace be upon you. And then he breathes on them. Breath. The Ruah, the Holy Spirit. And he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins are retained are retained. If you think that that person is not worthy of confession or absolution, or is not truly sorry, you retain. There is no forgiveness. They have to come back till they're really, really sorry. And remember that when you go to confession. You need to be really, really sorry. We say so many times, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry. And instead of heartily, we mean hardly. We are horrible hypocrites, we Catholics, and we think better of ourselves than all the others who call themselves Christians, who don't have all these wonderful gifts that Christ has given us. I am heartily, truly, completely, in and out, sorry for having offended thee. And I detest all my sins because of thy just punishments, the loss of heaven, and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. To not avoid the near occasion of sin is in itself a mortal sin. For as we're speaking there about mortal sin. And You know what I mean. I don't need to reveal to the innocent that which is not yet for them to know. And in the midst of this, we have St. Thomas. And I always say St. Thomas must have either been Latino or Filipino. He was always late. So some of you, you know, you must be children of St. Thomas. And he was also late for the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, by the way, if you read forward. And so he comes, and they tell him, and he says, "Unless I put my fingers in his nail marks, in my hand and his side, I will not believe." And they're aghast of this lack of credulity on his part. And then on the eighth day, today, Jesus returns. In the meantime, St. Peter, St. John, St. Mary Magdalene has seen him. And of course, at the end of this pericope, it says, many, many things that are not written here, our Lord did. And of course, you can guess that it's not in Scripture. Not everything has to be in Scripture. Our religion is based on tradition, word of mouth, and Scripture, written word, which is very minimal. And so, guess who was the first person to see Jesus Christ risen from the dead? It was Mary. Mary Most Holy, who suffered the passion with him, and who stood at the foot of the cross, and who buried him and held his dead body in her bosom. She was the first. And it is to her that we must go. During the Easter season, the Paschal time, we say and sing the Regina Coeli, the antiphon for Easter. Queen of Heaven, rejoice! For him whom thou didst merit to bear has risen, as he said. Pray the Lord for us. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, for the Lord has truly risen. Mary, she brings us Jesus at Bethlehem. She stands by Jesus at the cross. And she, again, acquaints us with Jesus who is risen from the dead. Today, then, let us rejoice, because St. Thomas had to be told, and he was put in his place by Christ, go ahead, put your finger here, put your hand here. And what did St. Thomas do? He fell to his knees, just as you and I must fall to our knees. And then he says, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. You must do that when you see the priest raise up the host at the elevation. You must do that when you see the priest raise up the chalice at the elevation. My Lord and my God. So happy Easter. Be truly children of the risen Christ. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.